Today, gouged by Colesworth in spades. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics World, latest post covering finance and property news. Well, last Tuesday, I had Andy Schumalo, the ACP candidate for the Senate in New South Wales in the upcoming election, on my live show. Dr. Schumalo left no stone unturned as he methodically called out the power of big business from the banks, airlines, big consulting firms and supermarkets across Australia, who are consistently gouging ordinary households and businesses across the country, but protected by the current political system. It's corruption on a grand scale, which is why our big banks, airlines, gas companies and supermarkets are making super high profits at our expense. And many shareholders, by the way, of those companies are overseas, so we lose out there too. Now, in an interesting happenstance, the ACCC on Friday released its massive 441-page report on the big supermarkets. It was an examination of the extraordinary number of moving pieces in the grocery sector and the legitimate concerns of different players at different stages through the value chain. The ACCC noted that supermarkets continue to account for around 85% of expenditure on groceries, with one-shop convenience a key factor for consumers. The report comes ahead of a federal election that will be dominated by the cost of living as interest rates remain high and family budgets are under pressure. The price of groceries, the ACCC found, had surged since the 2019 period. Eggs and milk were 47% higher and 34% dearer, respectively. The ACCC estimates that Woolworths controls 38% of supermarket sales nationally, while Coles has 29% and Aldi 9%. Metcash, a wholesaler behind the IGA chain, has a market share of around 7%. The ACCC says that grocery prices in Australia have increased rapidly over the past five financial years. Most of those increases are attributed to increases in the cost of doing business across the economy, they say, including particularly production costs for suppliers, which have increased supermarkets' input costs. However, Aldi, Coles and Woolworths have increased their product and EBIT margins during this period, meaning that at least some of the grocery price increases have resulted in additional profits for Aldi, Coles and Woolworths. In addition, Coles and Woolworths are engaging in practices through their promotional activities and loyalty programs that make it harder for consumers to judge whether they're getting a good deal and enabling them to make informed decisions about whether to shop with them or elsewhere. Consumers, they say, are inked by the limited competition. Woolworths and Coles offer a very similar range of products at very similar prices, and product promotions and specials are often alternating between the two on a weekly basis. The use of confusing pricing and promotions, including loyalty programs, makes it more difficult for consumers to discern value, which in turn limits competition, especially on price. Aldi provides price competition, although they say this is constrained due to its limited production range and geographic coverage. Now, interestingly, despite the fact that shrinkflation was a major concern for more than 21,400 respondents in its consumer survey, the ACCC said that they were unable to precisely pinpoint how much shrinkflation had occurred in Australian supermarkets. And their analysis of product margins and sales revenues for all products indicates that average product margins for branded packaged grocery products at Coles and Woolworths, as represented by the grocery and health and home business units at Coles and the grocery, food and everyday needs departments at Woolworths, have increased in the last five financial years. These are among the highest revenue business units and departments at Coles and Woolworths, respectively. In contrast, average product margins on private label products, fresh produce, meat, seafood and bakery products are, in general, approximately the same as 5 years ago. They say that Coles and Woolworths' apparent ability to increase retail margins for packaged grocery products by more than is necessary to accommodate a wholesale price increase indicates they have, and sometimes exercise, a level of market power in retail markets. So perhaps no surprise then that at Aldi's, Coles and Woolworths, the EBIT margins are among the highest of supermarket businesses in relevant comparator countries. Similarly, their NetPAT margins, calculated by dividing NetPAT by revenue, and in the case of Coles and Woolworths, returns on total capital, are towards the higher end compared to these supermarket businesses. No single profit measure is definitively the most relevant for comparing supermarket profitability internationally, but considering their profitability across all three measures compared to peers in other countries, Aldi, Coles and Woolworths appear to be among the most profitable supermarket businesses globally. This, despite the huge footprint of Australia compared with many other countries, I might add, so you might expect costs of distribution to be higher, depressing profitability, but no. In fact, consumers in remote and regional areas pay even more for groceries, and there are simply few economic incentives for commercial supermarkets to expand into those areas. And by the way, that might mean it's up to governments to prop up community-owned supermarkets in the bush. Coles and Woolworths have argued that there is plenty of competition, noting Amazon has begun selling grocery items and its sales are expected to reach about $1.3 billion. Chemist Warehouse has also emerged as one of the biggest health and beauty product retailers, while Wesfarmers Bunnings chain is selling more pet supplies and cleaning products. But the ACCC found that while Woolworths and Coles faced ongoing and evolving competitive challenges on many fronts, their entrenched position in an oligopolistic market means substantial pro-competitive departures from the status quo are unlikely in the foreseeable future. While consumers may purchase some of their groceries from these retailers, none provide the convenience of being able to complete all or the vast majority of their grocery shopping in one visit. They therefore do not impose a close competitive constraint on supermarkets, the regulator said. While Aldi's entry into the Australian market in 2001 has made a significant impact, and the German company has been successfully implementing its business model, it's the only rival to Coles and Woolworths to have gained a material national market share, they said, and Aldi, as a hard discounter, provides a crucial lower-priced alternative to Coles and Woolworths. It is an important source of price constraint on them, placing downward pressure on prices to the extent of its product overlap. However, as a low-cost operator, it does not compete head-to-head with Coles and Woolworths on all aspects of their offerings, and Aldi does not face direct competition from any other hard discounters. In addition, different pricing strategies, such as cyclical high-low discounting, where products are placed on weekly or fortnightly specials at everyday low pricing, can confuse shoppers about the real price of a product. The ACCC didn't conclusively say whether the price cycles amounted to the supermarkets colluding with each other, but there was quite strong evidence of that phenomena throughout the report. The lack of competition, the investigation found, meant that Woolworths and Coles had a stronger hand in bargaining with suppliers and farmers. Actually, it wants the supermarkets to be required to give fresh produce suppliers detailed information about supply forecasts used to negotiate prices. And they also use their power to land bank sites to prevent competition as well. But the ACCC, despite the findings, said that the combination of very high barriers to entry and expansion of the sector and the inherent advantages that flow to Coles and Woolworths from controlling around 77% of the market means that the fundamental dynamics of competition in this sector and associated outcomes appear set to continue for the foreseeable future. And as the ACCC concludes, this is likely to mean continued market share gains by Coles and Woolworths, which will almost inevitably plump profit margins that are already among the highest in the world. Yet, despite their increased profit margins, the ACCC was unable to conclusively say whether Woolworths and Coles were actively price gouging. The ACCC said it was very difficult to get to the bottom of that. The profitability figures do give you some very broad picture of what's happening, but the issue of price gouging isn't one that we were able to engage in too closely. So the ACCC said that there was no silver bullet that will address all the issues that they identified in the inquiry. They made 20 recommendations that will improve competition in the sector and make a difference for consumers and give suppliers fairer bargaining conditions. They recommend reforms and harmonisation of planning laws to make it much easier to establish new supermarkets. They looked at the implementation of this recommendation in conjunction with the new merger regime being implemented by the Australian government, which will help to improve competition within the sector over the long term. And they make several recommendations to make it easier for consumers to understand and compare prices on the supermarket shelf, require supermarkets to alert them when shrinkflation occurs in a product, and to make it easier to compare prices between different supermarket chains. And they also recommended measures to demystify loyalty programs. Adopting those measures would better allow consumers to assess true value, hence promoting greater real competition. And they recommended reforms to help address the bargaining power imbalance between supermarkets and suppliers, especially fresh product suppliers. These include removing the opt-out provisions of the Food and Grocery Code to make the protections it provides mandatory rather than discretionary. And they recommend that supermarkets should be required to publicly report average wholesale prices for their fresh product purchases through an independent central body, and that measures should be introduced to impose greater responsibility on supermarkets for their demand forecasts. And they also recommended engaging with stakeholders about reforms to supermarkets' blind tender processes to make them fairer and more transparent. And they made specific recommendations for Australians living in remote locations who face a unique set of challenges when shopping for groceries. But despite the furore over rising prices, the ACCC noted that there's nothing illegal about businesses making a profit. Woolworths recorded a profit of $739 million in the first half of the current financial year, and Coles reported a $576 million profit during the same period. And the ACCC says there's no silver bullet to address all of the issues identified in its full report, but has recommended a suite of potential legislative and policy reforms to address areas that aren't working well, particularly when it comes to competition in the industry. That said, the watchdog believes that Woolworths and Coles will still dominate the supermarket sector and doesn't see that changing for the foreseeable future, despite the presence of Aldi or even Metcash. All up, the ACCC's 20 recommendations will require the action of the federal government, which is yet to commit to implementing them. And for its part, the federal government will include $2.9 million worth in next week's budget to help suppliers stand up to the big supermarkets, but has not provided further detail. And even with the recommendations, the National Farmers Federation believes more could be done to specifically support suppliers. As for the supermarkets themselves, Woolworths, Coles and Metcash have said that they're reviewing the report in detail and will consider the recommendations put forward by the ACCC. So a couple of observations. When I compare my typical weekly shop in Australia and in the UK, buying a very similar array of goods, in Australia, it's around $160 on average a week. But that compares with around $100 converted at 50 cents to the pound in the UK. Similar products, similar quality. So there is a clear case to say Australians are systematically paying a lot more for groceries than in the UK. But beyond this, we need Andy Shimlow's bigger picture analysis. It is no coincidence that in Australia, we have minimal competition across banks, airlines, the gas cartel, and the big supermarkets, and the superannuation sector. And you can add insurers and telecoms to that too. For example, my 1 gigabyte symmetrical fibre to the home business internet connection costs me $1,300 a month in Australia via the NBN, but I can get the same service for $95 equivalent a month in the UK. I could go on. The truth is, structurally, large corporates are milking ordinary Australians who, due to limited real competition, have no choice but to pay up. We might have some of the most profitable banks and supermarkets in the world, but they are on the backs of ordinary people. Where is the political will to change this? Actually, the AFR summed it up like this. At the heart of the final report of the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission supermarket inquiry is a simple truth. The horse has bolted. They suggest things cannot change. But I say, time for a new broom to stop the gouging. And that needs real political intent. Cue Andy. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.